got a picture for you this morning. It's one that I don't usually let out in public, but here is the first picture that I want you to see. That was a few years ago, obviously. I had a lot less white hair in my beard than I do now. But I'm floating on the water there, obviously. Now, I don't float. I have a problem floating on the water because when we had a swimming pool, Cheryl and the girls, everybody could float, so they would just relax and put their hands under me and just relax, and I'd relax. They'd let go of me, and I would lay completely on the bottom of the water. I mean, just literally on the bottom. I was secure on the bottom. The problem is I couldn't breathe from the bottom. So floating on the water was a new phenomenon for me. And this is me for the only time in my life that I can ever remember floating on the water. And it happens to be at the Dead Sea. And I'm under the understanding that most people can float on the Dead Sea because it's a little thick. It's a very unique body of water. And there's no natural outsource for that water. It just kind of evaporates into the atmosphere, and it is a very thick, so to speak, water. You can literally float easily on that water. I was floating on the water in the Dead Sea. When you come out of the Dead Sea, there is a shower room, a rinse room that you go in because you just don't want to smell like the Dead Sea. There's a good reason why it's called the Dead Sea. I know they have all kinds of, they manufacture stuff out of there. I get all that stuff. But you just don't want to smell just like the regular old water in the Dead Sea. So they have this shower house and this rinse house that you can go in and rinse off or shower off and change your clothes and get ready for the next thing that was in your day. Well, I came out of the shower house at the Dead Sea, and back around the corner of the shower house was the parking area where the bus that brought us and other vehicles were there and so forth and so on. Lots of vehicles in this environment. Lots of buses in this environment. But when I come around the corner I was on an archaeological dig. So we didn't get really the Greyhound air conditioned type stuff. You know, we got kind of the curtains in the window with little dingly balls on the bottom of the car. That's the kind of bus we were riding on. And so when I come around the corner, I saw a very familiar bus headed up the road. In a very long distance away from me. And I got very concerned for a moment that was the bus I was supposed to be on. Now, there was Greyhound buses in the parking lot, but I didn't come on a Greyhound bus. The old city bus or whatever it was going up. I could just barely see it going up. I think it's Route 90. And I got around to the parking lot, and sure enough, that was the bus I was supposed to be on. I got a very uneasy feeling at that moment that I had been left, literally I had been left at the Dead Sea. And just so you know, it's not being like being left at Canoe Creek, okay? Push the next slide. And this is 16 miles away from the Dead Sea. Okay, you just don't get out and just walk to the next situation. This is from Masada, which is in that area. I'm just saying, I'm left. You know what else is there? Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want to be left here. I was in trouble. I was in distress. I don't even know how to speak the language. There are camels around me. I don't know what to do. All I wanted to do is float on the Dead Sea. And then I wanted to get back on my bus, and I wanted to go back to where I was supposed to be. That was not happening. And I'm standing in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm wondering, where are my friends? What are they thinking on the bus? What happened, Dad? They don't even care. And just so you know, in the next slide, you got to know this. 5,827 miles from home. And just so you know, that blue stuff, that's deep water. I'm left at the Dead Sea. My friends don't even know I'm missing. I'm in trouble. I'm in distress. I'm wondering what to do. I don't speak camel, and I don't speak Arabic. I don't speak the language. I don't want to walk through the desert. I read the Old Testament. I don't want to be in the wilderness. I'm at the Dead Sea, and I'm standing in the middle of the parking lot, 105 degrees, and I don't know what to do. I'm in trouble. The word trouble means this. The word trouble means pressing. Pressing or affliction or distress or burden or problem or dilemma or difficulty. That's what the biblical word for trouble means. The main word is pressings. It's when it's heavy and it's pushing you down. And perhaps all the uncertainties and whatever is around you is causing a pressing. It's a difficult situation. It's a dilemma. It's a problem that we're up against. It's an affliction or a distress or a burden, but it's literally pushing the life out of us. We're in trouble. We're in distress. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapters 2 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3 last week that there's going to be troubles in the land. That's one reality when we looked at the lay of the land last week, that there is going to be troubles in the land. We live in the land of the living. And there's going to be trouble in that land. There's going to be pressings and affliction and distress and burdens and problems and dilemmas and difficulties in the land. But in that passage also that we uncovered last week, that we understand that there is going to be comfort, troubles and comfort. And comfort means this, a calling near, especially for help. A calling near, especially for help. And a powerful and a persuasive discourse, or a powerful and persuasive communication with you. An encouragement, an instructive, a scolding, a warning, a soothing. But all that which affords refreshment. So it doesn't matter if it's instructive or soothing or rebuking. It's for that to bring you refreshment. It's to meet you in your trouble. We see that partnered together, trouble and comfort in the Scripture. They are the dynamic duo. They are the Brocky and the Bullwinkle. They are the peanut butter and the jelly. You don't want trouble without comfort. The Dead Sea parking lot experience in the middle of my distress. And literally, I don't get distressed over a whole lot, but I was distressed. When I looked up and I saw other buses, and I'm walking through the buses, and all of a sudden, one door of one bus opened up, and I heard my name come from that bus. And I turned and looked, and 2 days earlier, I had shared a Coke with our bus driver. It wasn't the one I had for that day. It was the other guy, the guy from 2 days ago. And he said, "Ed." And I'm like, "What? There is a God." And my experience on the Dead Sea was amazing. But my experience in the parking lot was out of this world. In the middle of Israel, in the middle of the Dead Sea, hearing a door open and someone speak your name. And as he spoke my name, he waved me close. In the middle of my distress, there was comfort. And then he said this with his Israeli smirk. "You just got left." Smile ear to ear. I said, "I got that feeling." And he said this, "Don't worry." And he picked up his radio and he called the other guy. He said, "You forgot a guy." And within 5 minutes, the bus had turned around and come back and got me. In the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my distress, there was a guy that knew my name. 5,827 miles from my home. There was a guy who knew my name, and he opened up his door, and he called me close, and he brought resolution to my problem. We have a God who is going to invite us close. Even though there's troubles in the land, there is a God who knows your name. There is a God who opens up his door. There is a God who's going to wave you close. There is a guy, the God who might say, "You just got left." But he's going to pick up his radio and he's going to radio for help. Amen. In the middle of your storm, there is a God who is going to hold on to you because he knows your name. The troubles in the land are reality, and they are part of the equation that we're going to go through. And there's multiple reasons in the scripture why there is trouble in your life and in my life, why there's distresses in your life, why there is situations that we don't understand that are pressing us down. We know that that is a reality in our life, and the Bible uncovers many of those reasons. While there might be trouble in your land, in your life, and in the land, and in your life, and I know we've talked about some of these things in the past, but we got to know that there is trouble in the land, and the comfort that comes will come. In spite of the trouble, they will come. But there are multiple reasons why there might be trouble in your life. Psalm 119:67 says this: "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." The trouble in that guy's life came because he was astray. He was kicking the table because he was in the wrong living room. He was up against trouble because he was going down the wrong path. He was astray. And sometimes there's troubles in our life because we're on the wrong path. And God says, if I don't put an end table in the way for you to kick with your little toe, you're never going to know you're going the wrong way. And I love you too much to let you go the wrong way and not let you know you're going the wrong way. I need to let you know, so I'm going to allow this trouble to come into your life so that you can know you're going astray. Because I want you to hear the door open, and I want you to hear me call your name, and I want you to see me wave you close. In the middle of your trouble, I want to have you experience the comfort. And sometimes troubles are in our life because you and I are on the wrong path. But look what it says in Philippians 1, verses 12 and 13. "Now I want you to know, brothers, that this that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He's in prison. And he said, "I want you to know that this trouble is in my life so the gospel can go out." Do you ever wonder why you end up sick sometimes and you're in the doctor's office and you're sitting there and your appointment is a little taken, you're not in as quick as you think you should be in? Do you ever wonder why? Maybe it's because the person next to you needs Jesus. You ever wonder why your car breaks down? Will you lead your mechanic to Jesus? Maybe your car won't break down so much. You ever wonder those things? You ever wonder, because I do this, I allow this in your life so that the gospel will go forward. If I don't ever allow this trouble in your life, it's not because you're on the wrong path. It's because actually you're on the right path, Paul. It's that you're on the right path and you're walking on the right path. But if I don't put you in this situation which causes some trouble and some distress in your life, you're never going to be where I want you to be, because that guy sitting in the hospital bed next to you doesn't know Jesus. And if I didn't allow this trouble into your life, I would never put you in his presence. There's trouble in the land. There's multiple reasons why there's trouble in the land. Sometimes the trouble in the land is in Romans, it tells us this: not only so, but also rejoice in your sufferings, in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. It's to develop patience and endurance. That's why this trouble's in your life. It's because I want you to develop perseverance. John 9:3 says this: "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Jesus said this, "but this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." If the guy would have never been blind, the people would have never seen the miraculous work of Jesus. And sometimes you have a sickness just because God wants to heal you. because he wants his power to be displayed in your life. But we get all weary and we get all weird, and sometimes in our trouble and our distresses, and we get all pressed down, and we don't know where we should go, and we have this parking lot experience, but there's a God who's going to open up the door and say, "Come close, Rachel. I know your name." Isaiah 26:16 says this: "Lord, they have come to you in their distress, and so we will come to the Father." Sometimes he allows distress to come into our life so that we will come to the Father. Because we will finally realize that there's something in our lives we can't handle. We've been able to handle everything up to this point, and now I can't handle this. I got a situation I can't handle. Why is this happening, God? Why is this happening, God? Just so you will come and talk with me. This distress has been allowed in your life so just you and I can sit down and have a conversation. Because if there was never any distress, you would never talk with me. So that they will come to the Father. So I will come to the Father. 1 Peter 1:7 says this: "He said, come so that your faith, which is greater value than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine." So your faith can be proved real. How do you know your faith is real if it's never been tested? Tested faith gives you authority. And all of a sudden, you're standing on a tested faith. You're standing on a faith that you not only know in your mind and is in this feeling, but now you know and experience that this faith is real. And we need to know that our faith is real, and God's going to allow the troubles in this land to come through and to be a part of our life. So just to simply prove that our faith is real. Not to him, to you, and to me. Hebrews 12:10 and 11 says this: "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God discipline is always right and good for us, because it means that we share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterwards, there will be quite a harvest of righteous living for those who are trained in its way." Sometimes it produces, sometimes they've been allowed in our life to produce a harvest of right living. So sometimes, and I could go into each one of these, and I'm not going to do that today. I just want us to know that there is reasons for the trouble in your life, and it's not always because you're on the wrong road. The number one struggle that we have when affliction hits us, when pressing hits us, when distress hits us, we say, "God, what have I done wrong? You got to be mad at me." And that's not a reality. There are multiple reasons why there's trouble in the land. And this one is to prove and to give you the ability to harvest a right living. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 that we talked about last week some. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It enables us to be the hands of Jesus." Sometimes there's trouble so you can be the hands of Jesus in someone else's life. Push the button. No trouble comes into your life for the purpose of leaving you troubled. If we hear nothing else today, please hear that. No trouble comes into your life for the sole purpose and the purpose, any purpose, to leave you troubled. If we stop in the trouble stage, we will never experience the comfort stage. and the trouble has been allowed, and the comfort is real. They are going together. That which affords refreshment. There's going to be a calling near. God's never going to leave you in the middle of your trouble. He's always going to open the bus door. He's always there. He always knows your name. He's always going to draw you close. No matter what the trouble is. And at that moment, as we are starting to communicate with God, we might begin to, and we will begin to realize why we're in this trouble, why we're in this distress, because we're going to be talking to the Father. So you don't take trouble without comfort. That's not God's design. Comfort and trouble are the duo. Am I making sense today? God is not removing every trouble, because if he did, the gospel would have never gone into the jailer's life. He's not moving every trouble, or the blind man would have never been a witness for Jesus. He's not removing the trouble because he cares too much about us to leave us on the wrong path. He's not going to leave us in our trouble. And he's not going to remove the trouble in our life, because our land has trouble in it. And you have trouble in your life. But you have comfort in your life. God is calling you close. God is calling you close. Look what it says in Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Here comes the comfort part. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. You are my daughter. Can you imagine being drawn close and God just says that to you? What about just a minute, you need to know this. Push it back, please. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. All of a sudden, I start to wonder, trouble, you're in trouble. You don't know who you're messing with. And look what he says. Look what he says. He says, I will be with you. And you will pass through the waters, certainly, and I will be with you. And you will pass through the rivers, and certainly, and they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. See, I think that's the calling close. I think that's what we start to hear. We stop focusing on the trouble and start focusing on God. And all of a sudden, we start getting this download from God. And God starts to speak to us, and God starts to affirm in our lives who we are in Him. And God begins to work, and God recognizes that you're in the water. God recognizes that you're in the fire. He's not denying that you have a sickness. He's not denying that you have trouble. He's not denying that you're in the parking lot of the Dead Sea. He's not denying those things. He's not denying those things, but he's there with us. We've talked about that in weeks past. I am in there with you. The water won't sweep you away, but you need to hear me. Stop listening to the water. Second Timothy says this, I did not give you a spirit of timidity. I gave you one of power and love and self-discipline. So in the middle of my troubles, I need to hear that. In the middle of my troubles, I need to hear that God is with me. I need to hear that God has summoned me by name. I need to hear that God knows me and that God is doing a work in my life. And then I need him to say, and I need to hear him say at times, oh, I give you a spirit of not of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. Why would God give us a power and love and self-discipline? Why would power and self-discipline come in there if there was no trouble in God's world? It would just all be love, tulips and roses. He said, there's going to be tulips and roses, and I give you that, but you're going to need power too, and you're going to need self-discipline, because sometimes it's going to get weedy, and sometimes it's going to be thorns, and sometimes you're going to need that. you need to hear me say this. There's troubles for multiple reasons, but number one, you need to remember that you're mine. Number two, you need to remember that I did not give you a spirit of weakness. I gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Hebrews says this, and I don't know why. I do know why I throw this one in there. Keep your lives free from the love of money. You got your eyes on the wrong stuff in this world. Now, the love of money can be representative. You got your eyes on the wrong stuff. So I'm in trouble, and he calls me close, and he calls me close. He said, you got your eyes on the wrong stuff. Come, let me reveal to you. Let me talk with you. Let me speak into your life. You're mine. I redeemed you. You're in the water. I recognize that. But I did not give you a spirit of timidity. And you got your eyes on the wrong stuff. First Peter 4:7 says this, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Just so you know, in the last few weeks, I've heard God say that to me. And that's not talking about, that's not end time, like Jesus coming back type, whoop, you know, rapture practice. It's talking about the end of their persecution. It's coming. You need to hang on. But you need to keep your mind on me. Because if you lose your mind at the end, and I've often said, I am not going to bail at the bottom. And I've said that to so many people over the years. Don't bail at the bottom. Hang on. He's hanging on to you. You are his. He redeemed you. He's in the water with you. You got your eyes on the wrong stuff. Look at Jesus. He did not give you a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and sound mind. And he's not going to leave you in the middle of that trouble. But he did not remove that trouble from your life. You got to stay focused on me. You ever do that with your children? You're trying to tell your children something and all of a sudden, they're looking out the windows. And you kind of grab their chin and whoop. And we might even say, look at me. Look at me. That's what God's saying right there. He's got you by the chin and says, will you look at me? Exodus 15:3 says this, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. What if you heard God speak that to you? God, I'm scared. I am a man of war. I am a warrior. And the Lord is my... Yahweh is a warrior and Yahweh is his name. And he speaks that into you. He draws you close. And the bus door comes open. He said, you got to know this. He said, God, you don't know how big my problems are. You might want to tell your problems how big your God is. Because I am a God of war. I am a warrior. And you're going to see a victory. Look at that. We sing this song. Push the button. We sing that. The weapon may form, but it won't prosper. I just heard that this week from God. Saying, you know what? The weapon may form, but it ain't going to prosper, man. You know why? Because I know the weapon. I got insider information. Oh, there's going to be weapons formed against you, but they ain't going to prosper. Let God sing that over to you. Stop singing it to God and let him sing that over you. When the darkness fails, when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. And I heard God singing that over me this week. No weapon formed against you, son, is going to prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. You got to know that. Because I am a God who knows only triumph. God's got no marks in the L bracket. God has never lost. I only know triumph. I only know victory. I am a God, a warrior. I am a God of war. And there's no weapon, and there's no darkness Because I only know triumph. And my God, I will never fail. I will never fail. You're going to see a victory, son. You're going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to me. Let me speak it in your ear. You got trouble. You got test results that aren't good. You got stuff going on in your life. But you got to know this. You're going to see a victory. Because I'm your God. And I'm a man of war. And I'm a man who takes your battles to heart because you're my son. And you're going to see a victory. And the battle belongs to me. There is power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war I wage, I win. And I'm waging war right now. I'm not backing down from any of your giants. Because I know how your story ends. Let God sing that into your ear. In the middle of your troubles. And watch what he can do. In Judges, he says to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You see what he's done there? He's transferring some of that to Gideon. Get up, Gideon. Get up, Gideon. Gideon says, I'm but a nobody, and my family's a nobody, and I'm the runt of the litter. Get up, Gideon. Get up, Gideon, because I am the Lord. I am a warrior, and I'm going to make you a warrior. Stand up, warrior. Stand up, warrior. Stand up, warrior. And Gideon says, I don't know if I can. And God says, I know you can, but take some of my breath. Take some of my comfort. Take some of my calling along beside you. Take some of my refreshment into your soul. And stand up, warrior. And Jeremiah says this. He says this to Jeremiah, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. Know what that my translation? Would you lose the excuses? Do not say I'm only a child. You must know everyone I send you to and say whatever I command. Go to. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command. Do not be afraid of the situation, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares Yahweh. Woo. See, if we stop in the trouble, we're never going to get to the comfort. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord is upon me. And he brought me out in the spirit and he set me in the middle of the driest, boniest ground there was. And the valley was full of dry bones. And he led me back and forth. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, the bones that were very dry. And he simply said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Do you think I can do anything in this situation? You've had trouble perhaps for years and years and years. Do you think, how long did those bones have to lay there to get dry? They have been there for a while, and you've been in this trouble for a long time. Do you think I can do anything in your life right now? And I love Ezekiel's response. Only you know, God.
Amen.
It doesn't look good from this angle, but you got a different perspective than I do, God. Prophesy. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, situation, trouble, distress, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me finish with this. Isaiah 51:12. This is God talking. I am he who comforts you. You, who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men, who are just grass? Do you know your trouble is just grass? And I am the one who is comforting you. There's trouble in the land, New Lifers. But God never allows trouble without comfort. He's never going to leave you in the parking lot without a door to open and call your name. Are you with me today? One more slide. Push the button. Trouble leads to comfort, and comfort leads to the touch of God.
Amen.
I'm not saying embrace the trouble. I'm saying let the trouble take you to the comfort of God. When God's done with your trouble, He'll set it to the curb in a little black plastic bag in a big truck that makes loud noises in the early morning. Well, come get it. And you will be left. And you will be left with the touch of God. Whew. That's good stuff. Hang on. Because He's hanging on to you. Let's just give Him a minute to just to bask here for just a second in silence. Father, draw us close this morning. Some here are in trouble. Some here are experiencing great distress. Some here got a tough diagnosis. Some here don't know if their marriage is going to last another few weeks. Some not too sure about their job. And Father, there's trouble in the land. But You allow trouble for many, many reasons. And so, Father, help us not to bail at the trouble. Help us to hear Your voice call us close. That guy in Israel remembered my name because I bought him a Coke. Can you imagine, can I imagine how much you know my name? So, Father, thank You for that. So draw us close today. Help us to hear Your voice. Help us to hear, I am comforting You right now. Do not be afraid of this trouble. It's grass. Here we go, Lord. We're going to hear the word of the Lord. Come alive, dry bones. Father, I just thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for this day. Troubles, You're in trouble. Because You're done oppressing us. We're going to use You now to escort us into the very presence of God. And when we get into the very presence of God, we're going to hear things like, I know You by name. We're going to hear things like, I did not give you a spirit of weakness. We're going to hear things like, I am a warrior. We're going to hear these things. You got your eyes focused on the wrong thing. Look at me, son. We're going to hear these things. Trouble, you're in trouble. New life, receive the comfort. New life, receive the touch of God this morning. Receive His touch this morning. No matter what you're up against this morning, receive the touch from Yahweh. Receive His touch this morning. Receive His touch. Troubles, you're going away. You're grass. You're taking us into the very presence of God. That's the only reason you are here, to get us into the very presence of God where we can hear God. Father, receive. Help us to receive your touch. In Jesus' name, I thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, I thank you so much. Father, we're going to open our eyes and we're going to stand and we're going to take up the chairs and we're going to shake hands and we're going to hug. Maybe we just need to spend a little time just seeking you this morning. Just lead us this day. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and thrive in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, New Life.